Blog Talk Radio. Oh, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you choose to listen. Hello, this is Jennifer Vanderslice, and welcome to the next episode of I Saw the Beatles. This week's guest is Sharon Herman of Florida. Sharon got to see the Beatles twice, once in 1964 and once in 1965. Sharon, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's warm here. Is it warm there?
Oh, Florida, yeah. It's really warm here.
Middle of the summer, yeah. So you got to see the Beatles twice. I mean, that's beyond comprehension for those of us who weren't of age at the time and able to do that or had parents who, you know, were older.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about the first time? How old were you?
I was 14.
Ooh,
I had just about turned 15.
And why don't you tell us who, what's, when, where?
Okay, it was, of course, in 1964. And the day I was going to see him was September 11th in Jacksonville. And I didn't know if I was going to get to see him for sure or not because a hurricane had just gone through there. And
Hurricane Dora. I looked this information up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dora. And it did some damage, and the wind was pretty high still. And a friend of mine, Ann and Cindy, they came too. And Ann's mom stayed with us. And just being there, just going, you know, getting ready to get, you know, there. We did each other's hair. We, you know, kept changing lipsticks and this and that, as if, you know, they really were going to notice us. But in your heart at 14, 15, you really believe they're going to see you.
Yeah, what stands out to me is the lipstick because, you know, we were lip gloss when I was 14. I mean, lipstick at that age, you know, that was a 50s and 60s thing. You did that when you were you were young.
Yep, sure did.
And what about your outfits? How far in advance did you have those picked out?
We had like mini skirts on. We tried to get the Beatles boots just before we went on the trip, but couldn't find him. So that was a disappointment. But
was it because they were sold out? Every place was sold out?
Yeah, they were sold out. We waited too long. Yeah, so.
So your friend Anne's mother drives you.
Yeah.
And so tell us all about getting there and getting in the stadium and what it was like with that crowd of, let's see, I think the way I read it was that there was 32,000 tickets sold, but because of the hurricane, 9,000 people didn't show up.
Yep, that's true. That is true. We were in the car. We were constantly bubbly. And Anne was a real jumpy and, you know, constantly on the move. Our time was really spent quickly by getting from close to Orlando to Jacksonville. It didn't take long. And so we got out at the stadium, and Ann's mom came. And it wasn't, you know, real crowded and everything. It was, you know, it was pretty good. But the wind was terrible. There was a little bit of rain. And we just, you know, couldn't wait to see the Beatles get up on there. They're in the stadium. And so we just, you know, just the waiting was horrible. is just constant. You know you're going to see him any minute. And back then, mm-hmm. you know, you didn't have video. You only had
right.
pictures. So mm-hmm. these guys were going to be real. And that is something that we just couldn't get over. So go ahead.
So you're going into the stadium. So do you mm-hmm. do you talk with the other fans around you, or did you just pretty much keep – well, first of all, did Ann's mom go in with you? Did she have a ticket too, or did she
yes,
wait outside?
Yes. No,
okay,
she went
so there were, okay, so there was four of you. So do you talk with other people? I mean, or other – what is the crowd like waiting and stuff? I mean, are they all jumpy and excited and just – is the place just vibrating, waiting?
Yes, it is. They're screaming, even though the Beatles aren't out there. And if they see somebody move that they didn't see move before, they scream. crazy. But then we found out that we may not get to see the Beatles because it was going to be in front of a segregated crowd. And mm-hmm. the Beatles did not believe in that and would not play.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that scared us. And
right. So when did you hear about they refused to play in front of a segregated? I mean, was this days in advance or a week or how far in advance were they announcing this?
It wasn't. They might have known, but we didn't find out till later. You know, that thought of what if, you know, was always there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was John, of course, that said, you know, we're not going to start now. So, but it was at the time, really, I guess, but we didn't know. So they finally, they had some people sing before them, which I never heard of. And then we couldn't wait. They got out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
that's what I was wondering. Do you just sit there and tolerate? I mean, were there people booing? I know when you know crowds get anxious to see the headliner, sometimes they get impatient with the opening act.
Yes, they could. Yeah, they could. Especially you know the girls. You know, that's my Paul. No, it's not. It's my Paul. I mean, some of it was. You know, I was sitting there thinking. Dumb, but you know, I'm just going along with the crowd. So, Ann's mom was really an awesome person. She was really for the team, and so it was nothing to get her to help us do something with the Beatles. So, I really appreciate her. Unfortunately, she's not around anymore.
Wow. Yeah, it's nice when you have a parent who encourages you or goes along with what you want to do. So the Beatles come on. Are you screaming like mad?
Yes, we all are. We're screaming, pinching each other, hitting each other. I don't.
14
I don't think
years
we
old,
left.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we left without a bruise somewhere. But,
And could you speak going home, or had you all lost your voices?
Oh, no. We were so, you know, our voices were so messed up, like mine usually is in the morning. But we really had so much fun just being there, knowing they were moving, knowing that, and we weren't that far from them. And just the excitement, the hair blowing, and it was just so exciting. I just can't. How exciting that was.
So you got to see them again, though, in Atlanta a year later.
Yeah.
In August of 1965 at the Atlanta Stadium. That was on a Wednesday night at 8:15.
Yeah.
And there was 34,000 tickets sold for that show.
Yep.
So tell us the lead up to that. Were you going with the same people?
Yes, but my mom said no, we couldn't go because I couldn't stay the night. And so I did a lot of boo-hooing, but she finally gave in because Ann's mom talked to her. And
oh, that was nice.
Yes, yeah, she just did something else. So we got to go. We had to, you know, put the money up though and stay the night. And but that was okay. I mean, we would have done anything. So,
did you get any sleep?
No. No, I don't know what that was.
Did Ann's mom get any sleep?
After she told her to shut up about 500 times, she might have got a little bit.
Did she drive again?
Pardon?
Did she drive?
She drove. Yes, she drove, yes.
I don't know
how she made it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the ride home after you kept her up all night. Must have been an experience.
I think us keeping her up in the car helped, though, because we were still so excited. But we had changed our minds and doing something different at the stadium. We thought we would try to be quiet more, not scream as much. And we even told the girls around us, you know, try not to scream so we can hear them. You know, pay more attention to it, the way they're moving their heads and stuff. Well, some of them that worked with and some didn't, mostly didn't. And fights could start, and we thought, well, forget that. So,
could you hear them?
No, not really. I mean, just every once in a while a word, and only because we listened to the record so many times. I mean, we could watch them, you know, just moving their mouth and know what song they were singing.
Right, because the thing when I looked up, you know, about the Atlanta concert, it was the first time that they had monitor speakers on the stage so that they could actually, for the first time, hear themselves. And I believe it said there was a better audio system. There's supposed to be better speakers, so I thought you would be able to hear.
Yeah.
I thought you would be able to hear them better, but
we could if we didn't argue with the other people. We were just clipping our nose off to try to, you know, to try to think we could get, you know, better sound. But it really was a lot better than it was at Jacksonville, if we would just paid attention.
Did you end up screaming?
Yes, I did.
I know. You can't help it.
I seen George, and that was it.
So you're a George girl?
Yes. Yeah. He was it.
Was it the same, so did you feel like it was the same experience? I mean, the same thrill the second time as the first time?
No, because it was different, and it was much more, you know, more comfortable because there wasn't a storm over us. And I was always scared one of the guys was going to get electrocuted.
Yeah.
So, but no, it was much calmer. Believe it or not, it was much calmer to the point where we could actually hear each other talk.
Wow.
So I wish I could be talking to another person that understood it, the excitement. I've never felt that excitement ever. And I guess I never will. We just couldn't believe it that was them.
Yeah, I you know, from the experience of being a person who never got to, you know, feel that, we have to live vicariously through all you people when you were young and got to experience all this, even the thrill of being able to go out and get their first albums. And there's been so many bands since that have been, they've tried to announce as the next Beatles, and Beatlemania will never happen again. There will only ever be one. Do you have any souvenirs from the concerts? Did you keep anything?
I did. And, I don't want to put everything out on the radio, but I had gotten married young, and when I left, and I left all my Beatles stuff. So, I know I wanted to go back and just get them, but I thought I better not. So, I know you make me cry.
Well, I also think of it from, you know, those of us who are collectors, you know.
Oh, I'm a collector too, so I do have some things. That the room is completely full, and I keep buying.
That's right. That's right. You told me that you have a Beatles room in your house.
Send them to you sometime, but yeah, I do.
Wow. Is it just walls of pictures and books?
It's got books and pictures and of course that, but it's also got things that I, a few things that I had when I was young, not much. I'm trying to think what it has so much stuff in it.
Do you have the toys and the dolls?
Yes, I have some of the dolls, and I never got to keep any of the toys. My sister would get into them, but but other than that, I just have mostly the memories.
Mm-hmm. Now you're a mother and a grandmother, right?
And a great.
And, oh wow! And yeah. Oh, that's right. You said you were married young. So is there any are there any Beatles fans? Are any of your children or your grandchildren Beatles fans?
My son is, but not, you know, huge. And my one son-in-law is, but his wife doesn't let, which is my daughter, doesn't let him listen to them. She listened to him all her life, and she didn't want to hear him anymore. So, so no, none of them really became huge fans, and I thought for sure they would. But,
I guess my thought is when, you know, are they fighting over all the stuff in the Beatles room? Who's going to get that stuff, you know?
But even the grandkids, they want it so they can sell it. But not so they can keep it, so they can sell it.
No.
Yes.
No.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But
well,
it's not
there now. You can always keep it as your security, kind of like, you know, kind of like the stuff in the vault that you sell if you ever have to.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth so much money and everything, but you know, it's worth more.
Yeah.
It's worth so much more in memories. I know that, you know.
Yes. I mean, I've got insurance on it even. So I do have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
I even told my husband, I said, just in case, you know, if I ever go early, do I need to mark my Beatles books, which ones are the signed editions? And he says, yes, that would be very helpful because there's so many of them, and to have to go through them all and decide which ones I've had, you know, are signed editions or first editions.
Yes,
and, you know, they don't understand the, you know, completely understand what it's all about to have this stuff. I mean,
this sounds very sad, but I remember when George passed, and it was on a Sunday, and we went to church, and I cried all the way through sermon, and they were asking me, I mean, this is so long ago, why are you crying? I said, because they become like family, you know, after so many years, then they become family. And but I still got kidded very badly. My grandkids were terrible. So.
Grandma's crying in church, and it's not because of the sermon.
No, not at all.
Your poor minister, he probably thought he was having a hell of a good day.
I told him the truth, though. I said, oh, it wasn't you.
Oh, that's as bad as me naming my first son Paul, and my grandfather's name was Paul, and my husband's father's name was Paul, and then they find out, well, it was Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that is funny.
All right. Well, Sharon, it's been great talking to you and hearing your stories, and they're so wonderful, these stories. I love hearing all of them. And thank you so much for sharing them with us.
Sure.
And you keep collecting and keep on loving the Beatles.
I will.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
this has been another episode of I Saw the Beatles. Keep up with us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, all kinds of different podcast formats out there you can listen to us on. But we'll be talking to you next week. Good night.